I did it for her.
Raven's room had the only door left on the upper floors. Raven held it for Asa and Shed.
Sit, he told Asa, indicating his cot.
Asa sat. He looked scared enough to wet himself.
Raven's room was as Spartan as his dress. It betrayed no hint of wealth.
I invested, Shed, Raven said, wearing a mocking smile.
In shipping.
Pour the wine.
He began cleaning his nails with a knife. Asa downed his wine before Shed finished pouring the rest.
Fill him up, Raven said.
He sipped his own wine.
Shed, why have you been giving me that sour cat's piss when you had this?
Nobody gets it without asking. It costs more.
I'll take this from now on.
Raven locked gazes with Asa, tapped his own cheek with his knife blade. No, Raven wouldn't have to live frugally. The body business would be lucrative.
He invested.
In shipping? Odd the way he said that. Where the money went might be as interesting as whence it came.
You threatened my friend, Raven said.
Oh, excuse me, Shed, a misstatement. It's partner, not friend. Partners don't have to like each other. Little man, you have something to say for yourself.
Shed shuddered.
Damn, Raven.
He'd said that so Asa would spread it around. Bastard was taking control of his life, nibbling away at it like a mouse slowly destroying a head of cheese.
Honest, Mr. Raven, I didn't mean nothing. I was scared. Crag thinks I tipped you. I gotta hide, and Shed's scared to put me up. I was just trying to get him to—
Shut up. Shed, I thought he was your friend.
I just did him some favors. I felt sorry for him.
You'd shelter him from weather, but not from enemies. You're a real gutless wonder, Shed.
Maybe I made a mistake. I was going to make you a full partner. Going to give you the whole business eventually. Thought I'd do you a favor. But you're a yellow dog creep, without the guts to deny it.
He whirled. Talk, little man. Tell me about Crag. Tell me about the enclosure.
Asa went white. He didn't open up till Raven threatened to call the custodians. Shed's knees racketed off one another. The hilt of his butcher knife was sweat-moist and slippery. He could not have used the blade, but Asa was too scared to see that. He just squeaked at his team and started rolling. Raven followed them in his own wagon. Shed glanced across the valley. The black castle brooded on the northern skyline, casting its dread shadow across Juniper.
Why was it there? Where had it come from?
He rejected the questions. Best to ignore it.
How had he gotten into this? He feared the worst. Raven had no sensibilities.
They left the wagons in the grove, entered the enclosure. Raven examined Asa's wood stash.
Move these bundles to the wagons. Stack them alongside for now.
You can't take my wood,
Asa protested.
Shut up.
Raven pushed a bundle through the wall.
You first, Shed. Little man, I'll hunt you down if you run off.
They had moved a dozen bundles when Asa whispered,
Shed, one of Crag's goons is watching us.
He was about to panic. Raven was not displeased with the news.
You two go get bundles from the woods.
Asa protested. Raven glared. Asa headed uphill.
How does he know? He whined at Shed. He never followed me, I'm sure of that.
Shed shrugged. Maybe he's a sorcerer. He always knows what I'm thinking. Raven was gone when they returned. Shed looked around, nervously decided.
Let's get another load.
Raven was waiting next trip.
Take those bundles to Asa's wagon.
An object lesson, Shed said, pointing into the wagon. Blood ran across the floorboards, seeping from under a pile of wood.
See what kind of man he is.
Up the hill now, Raven ordered when they returned. Lead off, Asa. Collect your tools and torches to start.
Suspicion nagged Shed as he watched Raven build a litter. But no, even Raven wouldn't stoop that low, would he? They stood looking down into the dark mouth of the underworld.
"You first, Asa," Raven said. Reluctantly, Asa descended. "You're next, Shed."
"Have a heart, Raven.
Get moving."
Shed moved. Raven came down behind him. The catacombs had a carnal smell, but weaker than Shed had anticipated. A draft stirred Asa's torch.
"Stop," Raven said.
He took the brand, examined the gap through which they had entered, nodded, passed the torch back.
"Lead on."
The cavern widened and joined a larger cave. Asa halted halfway across. Shed stopped, too. He was surrounded by bones. Bones on the cave floor, bones on racks on the walls, skeletons hanging from hooks. Loose bones in tumbles and piles, all mixed together. Skeletons sleeping amidst the clutter. Bones still within shreds of burial raiment. Skulls leering from wooden pegs on that far wall. Empty eyes sinister in the torchlight. A passage urn shared each peg. There were mummified bodies, too, though only a few. Only the rich demanded mummification. Here, riches meant nothing. They were heaped with all the rest. Asa volunteered,
"This is a real old place. The custodians don't come here anymore, unless maybe to get rid of loose bones. The whole cave is filled up that way, just like they pushed them out of the way."
"Let's look," Raven said.
Asa was right. The cavern narrowed and its ceiling descended. The passageway was choked with bones. Shed noted the absence of skulls and urns. Raven chuckled.
"Your custodians aren't as passionate about the dead as you thought, Shed."
"The chambers you see during spring and autumn rites aren't like this," Shed admitted.
"I don't guess anybody cares about the old ones anymore," Asa said.
"Let's go back," Raven suggested.
As they walked, he observed,
"We all end up here, rich or poor, weak or strong." He kicked a mummy.
"But the rich stay in better shape. Asa, what's down the other way?"
"I only ever went about 100 yards. More of the same."
He was trying to open a passage urn. Raven grunted, took an urn, opened it, dumped several coins onto his hand. He held them near the torch.
How do you explain their age, Asa?"
"Money has no provenance," Shed said.
Asa nodded.
"And I made out like I'd found a buried treasure."
"I see. Lead on."
Soon Asa said,
"This is as far as I ever went."
"Keep going."
They wandered till even Raven responded to the oppression of the cavern.
"Enough. Back to the surface."
Once up top, he said, "Get the tools."
"Damn, I'd hoped for better."
Soon they were back with a spade and ropes.
"Shed, dig a hole over there. Asa, hang on to this end of the rope. When I yell, start pulling."
Raven descended into the catacombs. Asa remained rooted as instructed. Shed dug. After a while, Asa asked,
"Shed, what's he doing?"
"You don't know. I thought you knew everything he did."
"I just told Crag that. I couldn't keep up with him all night."
Shed grimaced, turned another spadeful of earth. He could guess how Asa worked, by sleeping somewhere most of the time. Spying would have interfered with wood-gathering and grave-robbing. Shed was relieved. Asa didn't know what he and Raven had done, but he would before long. He looked inside himself and found little self-disgust.
Damn, he was accustomed to these crimes already.
Raven was making him over in his own image. Raven shouted. Asa hauled away. He called,
"Shed, give me a hand. I can't get this by myself."
Resigned, Shed joined him. Their catch was exactly what he expected. A mummy sliding out of the darkness like some denizen of the deeps of yesteryear. He averted his gaze.
"Get his feet, Asa."
Asa gagged.
"My God, Shed. My God, what are you doing?"
"Be quiet and do what you're told. That's the best way. Get his feet."
They moved the body into the brush near Shed's pit. A passage urn rolled out of a bundle tied upon its chest. The bundle contained another 2 dozen urns. So, the hole was for burying empty urns. Why didn't Raven fill his pockets down there? "Let's get out of here, Shed," Asa whined. "Back to your rope." Urns took time to empty, and Raven had 2 men up top with little to do but think. So, they were busy work, and an incentive, of course. 2 dozen urns with each cadaver would build up quite a pile.
"Shed?"
"Where are you going to run, Asa?" The day was clear and unseasonably warm, but it was still winter. There was no way out of Juniper. "He'd find you. Go back to your rope. You're in it now, like it or not." Shed resumed digging. Raven sent up 6 mummies. Each carried its bundle of urns. Then Raven returned. He studied Asa's ashen face, Shed's resignation.
"Your turn, Shed."
Shed gulped, opened his mouth, swallowed his protest, slunk toward the hole. He lingered over it, a hair's breadth from rebellion.
"Move it, Shed. We don't have forever."
Maron Shed went down among the dead. It seemed he was in the catacombs forever, numbly selecting cadavers, collecting urns, dragging his grisly booty to the rope. His mind had entered another reality. This was the dream, the nightmare. At first, he did not understand when Raven called for him to come up. He clambered into gathering dusk.
"Is that enough? Can we go now?"
"No," Raven replied. "We've got 16. I figure we can get 30 on the wagons."
"Oh, okay."
"You haul up," Raven said. "Asa and I will go down."
Shed hauled. In the silvery light of a 3/4 moon, the dead faces seemed accusing. He swallowed his loathing and placed each with the others, then emptied urns. He was tempted to take the money and run. He stayed more out of greed than fear of Raven. He was a partner this time. 30 bodies at 30 leva meant 900 leva to share out. Even if he took the small cut, he would be richer than he'd ever dreamed. What was that? Not Raven's order to haul away. It sounded like someone screaming. He nearly ran. He did go to pieces momentarily. Raven's bellowing brought him together. The man's cold, calm contempt had vanished. Shed heaved. This one was heavy. He grunted, strained. Raven came scrambling up. His clothing was torn. A bloody gash marked one cheek. His knife was red. He whirled, grabbed the rope.
"Pull!" he shouted. "Damn you, pull!"
Asa came out a moment later, tied to the rope.
"What happened? My God, what happened?"
Asa was breathing, and that was about it.
"Something jumped us. It tore him up before I could kill it."
"A guardian. I warned you. Get another torch. Let's see how bad he is."
Raven just sat there, panting, flustered. Shed got the torch, lighted it. Asa's wounds were not as bad as he had feared. There was a lot of blood, and Asa was in shock, but he wasn't dying.
"We ought to get out of here, Raven, before the custodians come."
Raven recovered his composure.
"No, there was only one. I killed it. We're in this now. Let's get it done right."
"What about Asa?"
"I don't know. Let's get to work."
"Raven, I'm exhausted."
"You're going to get a lot tireder before we're done. Come on, let's get the mess cleaned up."
They moved the bodies to the wagons, then the tools, then carted Asa down. As they worked the litter through the wall, Shed asked,
"What should we do with him?"
Raven looked at him as though he were a moron.
"What do you think, Shed?"
"But..."
"It doesn't much matter now, does it?"
"I guess not."
But it did matter. Asa wasn't much, but Shed knew him. He was no friend, but they had helped one another out.
"No, can't do it, Raven. He can make it. If I was sure he was checking out, yeah, okay. No body, no questions. But I can't kill him."
"Well, a little spirit after all. How are you going to keep him quiet? He's the kind who gets throats cut with loose talk."
"I'll handle him."
Whatever you say, partner. It's your neck.
The night was well along when they reached the Black Castle. Raven went in first. Shed followed closely. They pulled into the same passage as before. The drill was the same. After they laid out the bodies, a tall, lean creature went down the line.
10, 10, 30, 10, 10,
and so forth. Raven protested vigorously. The only offers above 10 were for the men who had followed them to the enclosure, and for Asa, who remained in his wagon. The tall being faced Raven.
"These have been dead too long. They have little value. Take them back if you're not satisfied."
"All right, all right. Let's have it." The being counted out coins. Raven pocketed 6 of each 10. He handed the rest to Shed. As he did so, he told the tall being,
"This man is my partner. He may come alone."
The tall figure inclined its head, took something from within its clothing, handed it to Shed. It was a silver pendant in the form of serpents entwined.
"Wear that if you come up alone," Raven said. "That's your safe conduct."
Under his icy stare, Shed slipped the pendant into a pocket already filled with silver. He ran the arithmetic. 112 leva as his share. It would have taken him half a decade to accumulate that much honestly. He was rich. Damn him, he was rich. He could do anything he wanted. No more debts. No more Crag killing him slowly. No more gruel every meal. Turn the lily into something decent. Maybe find a place where his mother would have proper care. Women. All the women he could handle. As he turned his wagon, he glimpsed a high chunk of wall that hadn't been there last visit. A face stared out. It was the face of the man he and Raven had brought in alive. Its eyes watched him. Chapter 14. Juniper. Durtile. Whisper delivered us to a broken-down castle named Durtile. It overlooks Juniper in general, and the enclosure in specific. For a week we had no contact with our hosts. We had no language in common. Then we were graced with the presence of a thug named Bullock, who spoke the languages of the Jewel Cities. Bullock was some kind of enforcer for the local religion, which I could not figure out at all. It looks like a death cult at first. Look again, and you find death, or the dead, not worshipped, but revered, with bodies fanatically preserved against some millennial revival. The whole character of Juniper is shaped by this, except for the Buskin, where life has so many concerns more vital than the welfare of the dead. I took an instant dislike to Bullock. He struck me as violence-prone and sadistic, a policeman who would solve his cases with a truncheon. He would survive when the lady annexed Juniper. Her military governors have a need for his ilk. I expected annexation to occur within days of the captain's arrival. We'd have it scoped out before he got here. One word from Charm would do it. I saw no indication the Duke's people could stop it. As soon as Feather and Whisper had all our people in, including translators, Bullock, the Duke himself, and a man named Hargadon, who was senior custodian of the dead, meaning he ran the catacombs where bodies were stored, they led us into the bitter cold atop Durtile's north wall. The Duke extended an arm. "That fortress over there is why I asked for help." I looked at it and shuddered. There was something creepy about the place. "We call it the Black Castle," he said. "It's been there for centuries." And then he gave us a chunk almost too big to swallow. "It started out as a little black rock lying beside a dead man. The man who found them tried to pick the rock up. He died, and the rock started growing. It's been growing ever since. Our ancestors experimented on it. They attacked it. Nothing harmed it. Anybody who touched it died. For the sake of their sanity, they decided to ignore it." I shaded my eyes, stared at the castle. Not that unusual from Durtile, except it was black and gave me the creeps. The Duke continued. For centuries it hardly grew. It's only a few generations since it stopped looking like a rock. He got a haunted look. They say there are things living inside there. I smiled. What did he expect? A fortress exists to surround something, whether built or grown. Hagadan assumed the narrative. He had been doing his job too long. He'd developed an official's pompous style. For the last several years, it's grown damned fast. The custodial office became concerned when we heard rumors, out of the buskin, so unreliable to be sure, saying the creatures inside were buying cadavers. The accuracy of those rumors remains a source of heated debate within the office. However, no one can deny that we're not getting enough corpses out of the buskin these days. Our street patrols collect fewer than they did 10 years ago. Times are leaner now. The street poor are more numerous. More should be expiring of exposure. A real sweetheart, this Hagadan. He sounded like a manufacturer whining because his profit margin was down. He continued, "It's been hypothesized that the castle may soon be beyond a need to purchase bodies, if it is at all. I'm not convinced." Came down squarely on both sides of a question, too. That's my boy. "Its occupants may become numerous enough to come take what they want." Elmo asked, "You think people are selling bodies? Why don't you grab them and make them talk?" Time for the policeman to enter his bit. Bullock said, "We can't catch them." He had a but-if-they'd-let-me-do-it-my-way tone. "It's happening down in the buskin, you see. It's another world down there. You don't find out much if you're an outsider." Whisper and Feather stood a bit apart, examining the black castle. Their faces were grim. The Duke wanted something for nothing. In essence, he wanted to stop worrying about that fortress. He said we could do whatever it took to eliminate his worry, only we'd have to do it his way. Like, he wanted us to stay inside Durtile while his men and Hagadan's acted as our eyes, ears, and hands. He was afraid of repercussions our presence could cause if known. A few rebel fugitives had come to Juniper after their defeat at Charm. The lady was known here, though little considered. The Duke feared the refugees would incite trouble if he was suspected of collaborating. In some ways, he was an ideal overlord. All he wanted from his people was to be left alone. He was willing to grant the same favor. So, for a while, we stayed tucked away, till Whisper became irritated by the quality of information we were given. It was filtered. Sanitized. It was useless. She cornered the Duke and told him her men would be going out with his. He actually stood up to her for a few minutes. The battle was bitter. She threatened to pull out, leaving him twisting in the wind. Pure bluff. She and Feather were intensely interested in the Black Castle. Armed force could not have levered them out of Juniper. The Duke subdued, she turned on the custodians. Bullock was stubbornly jealous of his prerogatives. I do not know how she brought him around. He never was gracious about it. I became his companion on investigative jaunts, mainly because I learned the language quickly. Nobody down below paid me any mind. Him they did. He was a walking terror. People crossed the street to avoid him. I guess he had a bad reputation. Then came news which miraculously cleared the obstacles the Duke and custodians had dumped in our path. "You hear?" Elmo asked. "Somebody broke into their precious catacombs. Bullock is smoking. His boss is having a shit hemorrhage." I tried to digest that, could not. "More detail, if you please." Elmo tends to abbreviate. "During the winter, they let poor people get away with sneaking into the enclosure to collect deadwood for firewood. Somebody got in who decided to take more, found a way into the catacombs, 3 or 4 men. I still don't get the whole picture, Elmo. He enjoys being coaxed. All right. All right. They got inside and stole all the passage urns they could lay hands on, took them out, emptied them, and buried them in a pit. They also lifted a bunch of old-time mummies. I never seen such moaning and carrying on. You better back off your scheme for getting into the catacombs. I had mentioned a desire to see what went on down there. The whole setup was so alien, I wanted a closer look, preferably unchaperoned. Think they'd get overwrought, eh? Overwrought isn't the half. Bullock is talking bad. I'd hate to be those guys and get caught by him. Yeah? I'd better check this out. Bullock was in Duratile at the time, coordinating his work with that of the Duke's incompetent secret police. Those guys were a joke. They were practically celebrities, and not a one had the guts to go down into the Buskin, where really interesting things happened. There is a Buskin in every city, though the name varies. It is a slum so bad the police dare go in only in force. Law there is haphazard at best, mostly enforced by self-proclaimed magistrates supported by toughs they recruit themselves. It is a very subjective justice they meet, likely to be swift, savage, unforgiving, and directed by graft. I caught up with Bullock, told him, "Till this latest business is cleaned up, I stick like your leg." He scowled. His heavy cheeks reddened. "Orders," I lied, faking an apologetic tone. "Yeah? All right. Come on. Where you headed?" "The Buskin. Thing like this had to come out of the Buskin. I'm going to track it down." He had guts, for all his other failings. Nothing intimidated him. I wanted to see the Buskin. He might be the best guide available. I'd heard he went there often, without interference. His reputation was that nasty. A good shadow to walk in. "Now?" I asked. "Now." He led me out into the cold and down the hill. He did not ride. One of his little affectations. He never rode. He set a brisk pace, as a man will who is accustomed to getting things done afoot. "What are we going to look for?" I asked. "Old coins. The chamber they defiled goes back several centuries. If somebody spent a lot of old money in the last couple days, we might get a line on our men." I frowned. "I don't know spending patterns here. Places I've been, though, people can hang on to a family hoard for ages, then have one black sheep up and spend it all. A few old coins might not mean anything." "We're looking for a flood, not a few. For a man who spent a fistful. There were three or four men involved. Odds are good one of them is a fool." Bullock had a good grasp of the stupid side of human nature, maybe because he was close to it himself. Meow. "We'll be real nice doing the tracing," he told me, as though he expected me to hammer people in outrage. His values were the only ones he could imagine. "The man we want will run when he hears me asking questions." "We chase him?" "Just enough so he keeps moving. Maybe he'll lead us somewhere. I know several bosses down there who could have engineered this. If one of them did, I want his balls on a platter." He spoke in a fever, like a crusader. Did he have some special grievance against the crime lords of the slum? I asked. "Yeah. I came out of the Buskin. A tough kid who got lucky and got on with the custodians. My dad wasn't lucky. Tried to buck a protection gang. He paid, and they didn't protect him from another gang in the same racket. He said he wasn't going to put out good money for something he wasn't getting. They cut his throat. I was one of the custodians who picked him up. They stood around laughing and cracking jokes, the ones responsible." "Ever settle them up?" I asked, certain of the answer. "Yeah. Brought them into the catacombs, too." He glanced at the black castle, half obscured by mists drifting across the far slope. "If I'd heard the rumors about that place, maybe I'd have..." "No, I wouldn't." I didn't think so myself. Bullock was a fanatic of sorts. He'd never break the rules of the profession that had brought him out of the Buskin, unless he could advance its cause by so doing. "Think we'll start right at the waterfront," he told me. "Work our way up the hill, tavern to tavern, whorehouse to whorehouse. Maybe hint that there's a reward floating around." He ground one fist into another, a man restraining anger. There was a lot of that bottled up inside him. Someday he would blow up good. We'd gotten an early start. I saw more taverns, cat houses, and reeking dives than I'd passed through in a dozen years, and in every one Bullock's advent engendered a sudden, frightened hush and a promise of dutiful cooperation. But promises were all we got. We could find no trace of any old money except a few coins that had been around too long to be the booty we sought. Bullock was not discouraged. "Something will turn up," he said. "Times are tough. Just takes a little patience." He looked thoughtful. "Might just put some of your boys down here. They aren't known, and they look tough enough to make it." "They are." I smiled, mentally assembling a team including Elmo, Goblin, Pawnbroker, Kingpin, and a few others. Be great if Raven were still with the company and could go in with them. They would be running the buskin inside 6 months, which gave me an idea to take up with Whisper. If we wanted to know what was happening, we should take charge of the buskin. We could bring in One Eye. The little wizard was a gangster born. Stand out some, though. I hadn't seen another black face since we'd crossed the Sea of Torments. "Had an idea," Bullock asked, about to enter a place called the Iron Lily. "You look like your brain is smoking." "Maybe. On something down the line. If it gets tougher than we expect." The Iron Lily looked like every other place we'd been, only more so. The guy who ran it cringed. He didn't know nothing, hadn't heard nothing, and promised to scream for Bullock if anybody so much as spent a single gersh struck before the accession of the present Duke. Every word bullshit. I was glad to get out of there. I was afraid the place would collapse on me before he finished kissing Bullock's ass. "Got an idea," Bullock said. "Moneylenders." Took me a second to catch it and to see where the idea had come from. The guy in the tavern, whining about his debts. Good thinking. A man in the snares of a moneylender would do anything to wriggle away. "This is Crag's territory. He's one of the nastiest. Let's drop in." No fear in the man. His confidence in the power of his office was so strong he dared walk into a den of cutthroats without blinking an eye. I faked it good, but I was scared. The villain had his own army, and it was jumpy. We found out why in a moment. Our man had come up on the short end of somebody in the last couple days. He was down on his back, mummified in bandages. Bullock chuckled. "Customer's getting frisky, Crag. Or did one of your boys try to promote himself?" Crag eyed us from a face of stone. "I help you with something, Inquisitor." "Probably not. You'd lie to me if the truth would save your soul, you bloodsucker." "Flattery will get you nowhere. What do you want, you parasite?" Tough boy, this Crag. Struck from the same mold as Bullock, but he had drifted into a socially less honored profession. Not much to choose between them, I thought. Priest and moneylender, and that was what Crag was saying. "Cute. I'm looking for a guy." "No shit. He's got a lot of old money. Cadgean period coinage." "Am I supposed to know him?" Bullock shrugged. "Maybe he owes somebody." "Money's got no provenance down here, Bullock," Bullock told me. "A proverb of the buskin." He faced Crag. "This money does. This money better, let's say. This is a big one, Crag. Not a little let's look around and make a show. Not some bump and run. We're going the same route. Anybody covers on it, they go down with this boy. You remember Bullock said it." For a second, Bullock made an impression. The message got through. Then Crag blank-faced us again. "You're sniffing up the wrong tree, Inquisitor." "Just telling you so you'd know."
What did this guy do?
Hit somebody who don't take hitting. Cragg's eyebrows rose. He looked puzzled. He could think of no one who fit that description.
Who?
Uh-uh. Just don't let your boys take any old money without you checking the source and getting back to me. Here?
Said your piece, Inquisitor.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you better be going, then?
We went. I didn't know the rules of the game, so didn't know how the locals would score the exchange. I rated it too close to call. Outside, I asked, would he have told us if he'd been paid in old coin?
No, not until he looked into it, at least. But he hasn't seen any old money.
I wondered why he thought that. I didn't ask. These were his people.
He might know something. Thought I saw a glint in his eye a couple times.
Maybe. Maybe not. Let him stew.
Maybe if you'd told him why...
No. That doesn't get out. Not even a rumor. If people thought we couldn't protect their dead, or them, after they kick off, all hell would break loose.
He made a downward gesture with one hand. Juniper like that. Crunch.
We walked on.
He muttered, all hell would break loose.
And after another half block,
that's why we've got to get these guys, not so much to punish them, to shut them up.
I see. We strolled back the direction we had come, planning to resume tavern hopping and to see a moneylender named Gilbert when we reached his territory.
Hey,
Bullock stopped.
What?
I shook my head.
Nothing. Thought I saw a ghost. A guy down the street. Walked like somebody I used to know.
Maybe it was.
Nah. Long ago and far away. Long dead now.
Just because I was thinking about him a little bit ago.
I figure we got time for half a dozen more visits. Then we head uphill. Don't want to hang around here after dark.
I looked at him, one eyebrow raised.
Hell, man, it gets dangerous down here when the sun goes down.
He chuckled and gave me one of his rare smiles. It was the genuine article. For one moment, then, I liked him.
Chapter 15 Juniper, Death of a Gangster. Shed had long, violent arguments with his mother. She never accused him directly, but she left little doubt she suspected him of hideous crimes. He and Raven took turns nursing Asa. Then it was time to face Cragg. He did not want to go. He was afraid Cragg might have lumped him with Raven and Asa. But if he didn't go, Cragg would come to him, and Cragg was looking for people to hurt. Shaky, Shed trudged up the frozen street. Snow fell in lazy, fat flakes. One of Cragg's men ushered him into the presence. There was no sign of Count, but word was out that the big man was recovering. Too damned stupid to die, Shed thought.
Ah, Shed, Cragg said from the deeps of a huge chair. How are you?
Cold. How are you keeping?
Cragg worried him when he was affable.
Be all right.
Cragg plucked at his bandages.
Close call. I was lucky. Come to make your payment. How much do I owe you all told? You buying up my debts, I couldn't keep track.
You can pay out, Cragg's eyes narrowed.
I don't know. I have 10 leva.
Cragg sighed dramatically.
You got enough. Didn't think you had it in you, Shed. Well... You win some and you lose some. It's 8 and some change.
Shed counted out 9 coins. Cragg made change.
You've had a run of luck this winter, Shed.
Sure have.
You seen Asa? Cragg's voice tautened.
Not since 3 days ago. Why?
Nothing important. We're even, Shed. But it's time I collected that favor. Raven. I want him.
Cragg, I don't want to tell you your business, but that's one man you'd better leave alone. He's crazy. He's nasty, and he's tough. He'd as soon kill you as say hi.
I don't mean no disrespect, but he acts like you're a big joke.
The joke will be on him, Shed. Crag dragged himself out of his chair, wincing. He grabbed his wound. The joke will be on him.
Maybe next time he won't let you get away, Crag.
Fear crossed Crag's features.
Shed, it's him or me. If I don't kill him, my business will fall apart.
Where will it be if he kills you?
Again, that flicker of fear.
I don't have any choice. Be ready when I need you, Shed. Soon now.
Shed bobbed his head and retreated. He ought to get out of the buskin, he thought. He could afford it. But where would he go? Crag could find him anywhere in Juniper. Running didn't appeal anyway. The Lily was home. He had to weather this. One or the other would die, and either way he would be off the hook. He was in the middle now. He hated Crag. Crag had humiliated him for years, keeping him in debt, stealing food from his mouth with ridiculous interest rates. On the other hand, Raven could connect him with the Black Castle and crimes in the enclosure. The custodians were on the hunt, looking for somebody spending a lot of old money. Little had been said publicly, but Bullock being on the case told Shed just how seriously they were taking the case up the hill. He'd nearly had a stroke when Bullock walked into the Lily. What had become of the passage money? Shed hadn't seen any of it. He supposed Raven still had it. He and Raven were partners now.
What did Crag say?
Raven asked when Shed reached the Lily.
Wants me to help kill you.
I thought so. Shed, it's late in the season. It's time to send Crag up the hill. Which way are you leaning, partner? Him or me?
In the long run, you're better off getting rid of Crag. He'd find a way to get the Lily eventually.
True, Shed reflected.
All right. What do we do?
Tomorrow, go tell him you think I've been selling bodies, that you think Asa was my partner, that you think I did Asa in. Asa was your friend, and you're upset. It'll all be just near enough reality to confuse him. What's the matter?
Always a trap. Raven was right. Crag would believe the story. But Shed had hoped for a less direct role. If Raven screwed up, Marin Shed would be found in a gutter with his throat cut.
Nothing.
All right. Night after tomorrow night, I'll go out. You run to tell Crag. I'll let his men track me. Crag will want me to be in at the kill. I'll ambush him.
You did that before, didn't you?
He'll come anyway. He's stupid.
Shed swallowed.
That isn't a plan that does much for my nerves.
Your nerves aren't my problem, Shed. They're yours. You lost them. Only you can find them again.
Crag bought Shed's story. He was ecstatic because Raven was such a villain.
If I didn't want him myself, I'd yell for the custodians. You did good, Shed.
I should have suspected Asa. He never brought no news worth hearing. Shed whined.
Who would buy bodies, Crag?
Crag grinned.
Don't worry your ugly head. Let me know next time he goes on one of his jaunts. We'll rig up a little surprise.
Next night, Shed reported according to plan, and suffered all the disappointment he expected of life. Crag insisted he join the hunt.
What good would I be, Crag? I'm not even armed, and he's one tough nut. You won't take him without a fight.
I don't expect to. You're coming along just in case.
In case?
In case there's a trap in this, and I want to lay hands on you fast.
Shed shuddered, whined.
I done right by you. Don't I always do right by you?
You always do what a coward would, which is why I don't trust you. Anybody can scare you. And you had all that money. It occurs to me you might be in the racket with Raven.
Shed went cold. Crag donned his coat.
Let's go, Shed. Stay right beside me. You try to wander off, I'll kill you.
Shed started shaking. He was dead. All he had gone through to get Crag off his back. It wasn't fair.
It just wasn't fair. Nothing ever worked for him. He stumbled into the street, wondering what he could do, and knowing there was no escape. Tears froze on his cheeks. No exit. If he fled, Crag would be warned. If he did not, Crag would kill him when Raven sprang his ambush. What was his mother going to do? He had to do something. He had to find some guts, make a decision, act. He couldn't surrender to fate and hope for luck. That meant the catacombs or Black Castle before dawn. He had lied to Crag. He had a butcher knife up his left sleeve. He had put it there out of sheer bravado. Crag hadn't searched him. Old Shed, armed. Ha! Not likely. He might get himself hurt. Old Shed did go armed sometimes, but he never advertised the fact. The knife did wonders for his confidence. He could tell himself he would use it, and he'd believe the lie long enough to get by. But in any tight spot, he would let fate run its course. His fate was sealed, unless he whipped it heads up, no holds barred. How? Crag's men were amused by his terror. There were six of them. Then there were seven. And eight, as those tracking Raven reported in. Could he hope to beat those odds? Raven himself didn't stand a chance. "You are a dead man," a tiny voice whispered over and over. "Dead man. Dead man." "He's working his way down Chandler's," a shadow reported. "Going into all the little alleyways." Crag asked Shed, "Think he'll find anything this late in the winter? The weaklings have all died." Shed shrugged. "I wouldn't know." He rubbed his left arm against his side. The knife's presence helped, but not much. His terror peaked and began to recede. His mind cooled to an unemotional numbness. Fear in abeyance, he tried to find the unseen exit. Again, someone loomed out of the darkness, reported they were 100 feet from Raven's wagon. Raven had gone into an alley 10 minutes ago. He hadn't come out. "He spot you," Crag growled. "I don't think so, but you never know." Crag eyed Shed. "Shed? Would he abandon his team and wagon?" "How would I know?" Shed squeaked. "Maybe he found something." "Let's take a look." They moved to the alley, one of countless dead-end breezeways opening off Chandler's Lane. Crag stared into the darkness, head canted slightly. "Quiet as the catacombs. Check it out, Luke." "Boss?" "Take it easy, Luke. Old Shed is going to be right behind you. Won't you, Shed?" "Crag, move out!" Shed shambled forward. Luke advanced cautiously, wicked knife probing the darkness. Shed tried to talk to him. "Shut up," he snarled. "Don't you have a weapon?" "No," Shed lied. He glanced back. It was just the two of them. They reached the dead end. No Raven. "I'll be damned," Luke said. "How did he get out?" "I don't know. Let's find out." This might be his chance. "Here we go," Luke said. "He climbed this downspout." Shed's guts knotted. His throat tightened. "Give it a try. Maybe we can follow him." "Yeah." Luke started up. Shed didn't think about it. The butcher knife materialized in his hand. His hand slammed forward. Luke arched back, dropped. Shed jumped on him, jammed a palm against his mouth, held on for the minute it took for him to die. He backed away, unable to believe he'd done it. "What's going on back there?" Crag demanded. "Can't find anything," Shed yelled. He dragged Luke against a wall, buried him under trash and snow, ran to the downspout. Crag's approach made a marvelous incentive. He grunted, strained, popped a muscle, reached the roof. It consisted of a skirt 2 feet wide, set at a shallow angle, then 12 feet rising at 45 degrees, above which the roof was flat. Shed leaned against the steep slate, panting, still unable to believe that he had killed a man. He heard voices below, began moving sideways. Someone snarled. They're gone, Crag. No Raven, no Luke, and no Shed, either.
That bastard. I knew he was setting me up.
Why did Luke go with him, then?
Hell, I don't know. Don't stand there. Look around. They got out of here somehow.
Hey, over here. Someone went up this spout. Maybe they're after Raven.
Climb the damn thing. Find out.
Luke! Shed!
Over here, a voice called. Shed froze. What the hell? Raven? Had to be Raven.
He inched along, trying to fake himself into believing there wasn't 35 feet of nothing behind his heels. He reached a ridged corner where he could clamber up to the flat top.
Over here. I think we got him cornered.
Get up there, you bastards! Crag raged. Lying motionless on the cold, icy tar, Shed watched two shadows appear on the skirt and begin easing toward the voice. A squeal of metal and vicious cursing proclaimed the fate of a third climber.
"Twisted my ankle, Crag," the man complained.
"Come on," Crag growled. "We'll find another way up."
"Run while you got the chance," Shed thought. "Go home and hole up till it's over." But he could not. He slid down to the skirt and crept after Crag's men. Someone cried out, scrabbled for a hold, plunged into the darkness between buildings. Crag shouted. Nobody answered. Shed crossed to the roof next door. It was flat and forested with chimneys.
"Raven?" he called softly. "It's me, Shed."
He touched the knife in his sleeve, still unable to believe that he'd used it. A shape materialized. Shed settled into a sitting position, arms around his knees.
"What now?"
he asked.
"What are you doing here?"
"Crag dragged me along. I was supposed to be the first one dead if it was a trap."
He told Raven what he had done.
"Damn, you've got guts after all."
"He backed me into a corner. What now?"
"The odds are getting better. Let me think about it."
Crag shouted out in Chandler's lane. Raven yelled back.
"Over here! We're right behind him!"
he told Shed.
"I don't know how long I can fool him. I was going to pick them off one at a time. I didn't know he'd bring an army."
"My nerves are shot," Shed said. Heights were another of the thousand things that terrified him.
"Hang on. It's a long way from over."
Raven yelled.
"Cut him off, why don't you?"
He took off.
"Come on, Shed."
Shed could not keep up. He wasn't as nimble as Raven. A shape loomed out of the darkness. He squeaked.
"That you, Shed?"
It was one of Crag's men. Shed's heartbeat doubled.
"Yeah. You seen Raven?"
"No. Where's Luke?"
"Damn it, he was headed right at you. How could you miss him? Look here."
Shed indicated disturbances in traces of snow.
"Look, man, I didn't see him. Don't come on at me like you was Crag. I'll kick your ass up around your ears."
"All right, all right. Calm down. I'm scared, and I want to get it over. Luke fell off, back there. Slipped on some ice or something. Be careful."
"I heard. Sounded like Milt, though. I'd have sworn it was Milt. This is stupid. He can pick us off up here. We ought to back off and try something else."
"Uh-uh. I want him now. I don't want him tracking me down tomorrow."
Shed was amazed how easily the lies came. Silently, he cursed the man because he wouldn't turn his back.
"You got an extra knife or something?"
"You use a knife?
Come on. Stick with me, Shed. I'll look out for you."
"Sure. Look, the trail goes that way. Let's get it done."
The man turned to examine Raven's tracks. Shed drew his knife and hit him hard. The man let out a yell, twisted. The knife broke. Shed almost pitched off the roof. His victim did. People shouted questions. Crag and his men all seemed to be on the rooftops now. When Shed stopped shaking, he started moving again, trying to recall the layout of the neighborhood. He wanted to get down and head home. Raven could finish this insanity. Shed ran into Crag on the next roof.
"Crag," he whined. "God, let me out of here. He'll kill us all."
"I'll kill you, Shed. It was a trap, wasn't it?" "Crag, no!"
What could he do? He didn't have the butcher knife now. Fake. Wine and fake.
"Crag, you gotta get out of here. He already got Luke and Milt and somebody else. He wouldn't have gotten me when he got Luke, except he fell down and I got away. Only he caught up again when I was talking to one of your guys right over there. They got fighting, and one of them went off the edge. I don't know which, but I bet it wasn't Raven. We gotta get down from here on account of we can't tell who we're running into, so we gotta be careful. I could have had him this last time, only I didn't have a weapon, and we didn't know it wasn't one of our own guys coming. Raven don't have that problem. Anybody he sees he knows is an enemy, so he don't have to be so careful."
"Shut up, Shed." Crag was buying it. Shed talked a little louder, hoping Raven would hear, come, and finish it. There was a cry across the rooftops.
"That's Teskus," Crag growled. "That's four, right?"
Shed bobbed his head.
"That we know about. Maybe there's only you and me now. Crag, we should get out of here before he finds us."
"Might be something to what you say, Shed. Might be. We shouldn't have come up here. Come on." Shed followed, keeping up the chatter.
"It was Luke's idea. He thought he'd make points with you. See, we saw him at the top of this drain spout, and he didn't see us. So Luke said, why don't we go after him and get him, and old Crag will—"
"Shut up, Shed. For God's sake, shut up. Your voice sickens me."
"Yes, sir, Mr. Crag. Only I can't. I'm so scared."
"If you don't, I'll shut you up permanent. You won't have to worry about Raven." Shed stopped talking. He had pushed as far as he dared. Crag halted a short time later.
"We'll set an ambush near his wagon. He'll come back for it, won't he?" "I expect so, Mr. Crag. But what good will I be? I mean, I don't have a weapon, and wouldn't know how to use one if I did."
"Shut up." "You're right. You're not much good, Shed. But I think you'll do fine as a distraction. You get his attention. Talk to him. I'll hit him from behind."
"Crag, shut up."
Crag rolled over the side of the building, clung to the parapet while getting a solid foothold. Shed leaned forward, three stories to the ground. He kicked Crag's fingers. Crag cursed, scrabbled for a fresh hold, missed, dropped, yelled, hit with a muted thump. Shed watched his vague shape twitch, become still.
"I did it again." He started shaking. "Can't stay here. His men might find me."
He swung over the parapet and monkeyed down the side of the building, more afraid of being caught than of falling. Crag was still breathing. In fact, he was conscious but paralyzed.
"You were right, Crag. It was a trap. You shouldn't have pushed me. You made me hate you more than I was scared of you."
He looked around. It wasn't as late as he had thought. The rooftop hunt hadn't lasted long. Where was Raven, anyway? Somebody had to clean up. He grabbed Crag, dragged him toward Raven's wagon. Crag squealed. For a moment, Shed was afraid someone would investigate. No one did. This was the Buskin. Crag screamed when Shed hoisted him into the wagon.
"Comfy, Crag."
He retrieved Luke next, then went seeking other bodies. He found another three. None were Raven. He muttered,
"If he doesn't show in a half hour, I'll take them up myself, and the hell with him."
Then,
"What's come over you, Marin Shed? Letting this go to your head? So you found some guts. So what? That don't make you no Raven."
Someone was coming. He snatched a booty dagger, faded into a shadow. Raven tumbled a body into the wagon.
"How the hell?"
"I collected them," Shed explained.
"Who are they?"
"Crag and his men."
"I thought he ran for it. Figured I had to go through it all again. What happened?"
Shed explained. Raven shook his head in disbelief.
"You? Shed?"
"I guess there's only so much they can scare you."
"True, but I never thought you'd figure it out. Shed, you amaze me. Disappoint me, too, some. I wanted Crag myself."
"That's him making the noise. He's got a broken back or something.
kill him if you want.
He's worth more alive. Shed nodded. Poor Crag.
Where are the rest of them?
There's one on the roof. Guess the other one got away.
Damn, that means it's not over.
We can get him later.
Meanwhile, he goes and gets the others, and we have them all after us.
You think they'd risk their lives to avenge Crag? No way. They'll be fighting among themselves, trying to take over.
Wait here. I'll get the other one.
Hurry up, Shed said. The reaction was catching up. He had survived. The old Shed was coming back, dragging all his hysteria with him.
Coming down from the castle, with pink and purple strands of dawn smearing the gaps between the Wallanders, Shed asked,
"Why is he screaming?"
The tall being had laughed and paid 120 leva for Crag. His shrieks could still be heard.
"I don't know. Don't look back, Shed. Do what you have to and move on."
And a moment later,
"I'm glad it's over."
"Over? What do you mean?"
"That was my last visit."
Raven patted his pocket.
"I have enough."
"Me too. I'm out of debt.
I can refurbish the Lily, set my mother up in her own place, and have plenty to make it next winter, no matter what business is like. I'm going to forget that castle exists."
"I don't think so, Shed. You want to get away from it. Better come with me. It'll always be calling when you want some fast money."
"I couldn't leave. I have to look out for my mother."
"All right, I warned you."
Then Raven asked,
"What about Asa? He's going to be a problem. The custodians are going to keep looking till they find the people who raided the catacombs. He's the weak link."
"I can handle Asa."
"I hope so, Shed. I hope so."
Crag's disappearance was the talk of the buskin. Shed played a baffled role, claiming he knew nothing, despite rumors to the contrary. His story held up. He was Shed the Coward. The one man who knew differently did not contradict him. The hard part was facing his mother. Old June said nothing, but her blind stare was accusing. She made him feel evil, an infidel, and disowned in the secret reaches of her mind. The gap had become unbridgeable. Chapter 16. Juniper, Nasty Surprise. Bullock looked me up next time he wanted to go downhill. Maybe he just wanted company. He had no local friends. "What's up?" I asked when he barged into my tiny office cum dispensary. "Get your coat. Buskin time again." His eagerness excited me for no reason other than that I was bored with Durtile. I pitied my comrades. They hadn't yet had a chance to get out. The place was a drudge. So away we went, and going down the hill, past the enclosure, I asked, "Why all the excitement?" He replied, "Not really excitement. Not even anything to do with us, probably. Remember that sweetheart of a moneylender?"
"In the bandages?"
"Yeah. Crag. He's vanished. Him and half of his boys. Seems he took a crack at the guy who cut him, and hasn't been seen since." I frowned. That did not seem remarkable. Gangsters are always disappearing, then popping up again. "Over there." Bullock pointed to some brush along the enclosure wall. "That's where our men got inside." He indicated a stand of trees across the way. "Park their wagons there. We've got a witness who saw those. Filled with wood, he says. Come on, I'll show you." He pushed into the brush, dropped to hands and knees. I followed, grumbling because I was getting wet. The north wind did nothing to improve matters. The interior of the enclosure was seedier than its exterior. Bullock showed me several dozen bundles of wood found in the brush near the breach.
"Looks like they were moving a lot."
"I figure they needed a lot to cover the bodies. Cut it up there." He indicated trees above us, back toward Durtile. The castle stood limned against streamers of cloud. a gray stone rock pile, one earth tremor short of collapse. I examined the bundles. Bullock's associates had dragged them out and stacked them, which may not have been smart detective work. Looked to me like they had been cut and bundled over a period of weeks. Some ends were more weathered than others. I mentioned that to Bullock. I noticed. Way I figure, somebody was getting wood regular. They found the catacombs by accident. That's when they got greedy. I considered the woodpile. Figure they were selling it? No, that we know. Nobody has been selling enclosure wood. Probably a family or a group of neighbors using the wood themselves. You check on wagon rentals. How stupid do you think people are? Rent a wagon for a raid on the catacombs? I shrugged. We're counting on one of them being stupid, aren't we? He admitted. You're right. It should be checked. But it's hard when I'm the only one who has guts enough to do legwork in the buskin. I'm hoping we get lucky somewhere else. If I have to, I'll cover it, when there's nothing more pressing.
I see the place where they got in, I asked. He wanted to tell me no. Instead, he said,
It's a fair hike. Use up an hour. I'd rather go sniff around this crag thing while it's hot. I shrugged.
Some other time, then.
We got down into Crag's territory and started rambling. Bullock still had a few contacts left from his boyhood. Coaxed properly, with a few gersh, they would talk. I was not allowed to sit in. I spent the time sipping beer in a tavern where they alternately fawned over my money and acted like I had the plague. When asked, I did not deny being an inquisitor. Bullock joined me.
Maybe we don't have anything after all. There's all kinds of rumors. One says his own men did him in. One says it was his competition. He's a little pushy with his neighbors.
He accepted a mug of wine on the house, something I hadn't seen him do before. I put it down to preoccupation.
There's one angle we can check. He was obsessed about getting some foreigner who made a fool of him in public. There's some say the same foreigner was the man who cut him up.
He took out a list and began to peruse it.
Not going to be a lot there for us, I expect. The night Crag disappeared, there was a lot of whoop and holler. Not a single eyewitness, of course.
He grinned.
Ear witnesses say it was a running battle. That makes me favor the palace revolution theory.
What have you got there?
A list of people who were maybe getting wood out of the enclosure. Some might have seen each other. I was thinking I might find something interesting if I compared their stories.
He waved for more wine. This time he paid and covered the first mug, too, though the house would have forgiven him payment. I got the impression Juniper's people were used to giving custodians anything they wanted. Bullock simply had a sense of ethics, at least where the people of the buskin were concerned. He would not make their lives harder than they already were. I could not help liking him on some levels.
You're not going to pursue the Crag thing, then?
Oh, yeah, of course. The bodies are missing. But that's not unusual. Probably turn up across the river in a couple days, if they're dead. Or screaming for blood, if they're not.
He tapped a name on his list.
This guy hangs around the same place. Maybe I'll talk to this guy Raven while I'm there.
I felt the blood drain from my face.
Who?
He looked at me strangely. I forced myself to relax, to look casual. His eyebrows dropped.
Guy named Raven, the foreigner who was supposed to be feuding with Crag, hangs out the same place as this one guy on my wood-gatherer's list. Maybe I'll ask him a few questions.
Raven, unusual name. What do you know about him?
Just that he's a foreigner and supposed to be bad news. Been around a couple years. Typical drifter. Hangs out with the Crater Crowd.
The Crater Crowd were the rebel refugees who had established themselves in Juniper.
Do me a favor. It's a long shot, but this guy could be the ghost I was talking about the other day. Stand off a ways. Pretend you never heard the name. But get me a physical description, and find out if he's got anybody with him.
Bullock frowned. He didn't like it. Is it important?
I don't know. It could be.
All right. Keep the whole thing under your hat if you can.
This guy means something to you, eh?
If he's the guy I knew that I thought was dead, yeah.
Him and me got business.
He smiled.
Personal?
I nodded. I was feeling my way now. This was touchy. If this was my Raven, I had to go careful. I didn't dare let him get caught in the coils of our operation. He knew too damned much. He could get half the company officers and non-coms put to the question, and made dead. I decided Bullock would respond